No, thank you, Sleepy. Can you come back in an hour?
Need Sleepy.
Please go away, let me sleep for the love of God!
It's now time for the Billy C. Morning Show, part of the Billy C. Boxing Network. Interact with the show at BillyCBoxing.com.
And we're coming to you live from the Billy C. Studios in Lake George, New York. I'm Bill Caligiuri. It's time for the Billy C. Morning Show. Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody's doing okay on this fine, sunny, and warm morning here in the upstate New York area. I want to give a special shout out to all of our viewers on Fight TV. And if you don't have Fight TV, you're missing out. But fear not, because Fight TV has a app that you can watch this show and many others on your handheld device, including your phone. Just go to fight.tv, that's FITE.TV/Billy C. Download the app and watch the show today. Trust me, you'll love it. Today's show is being brought to us in part by Sal's Neighborhood Pizzeria and Italian Restaurant, located in St. Simon's Island, Georgia. Check out the website, www.salsneighborhoodpizzeria.com, or give my man a call, 912-268-2328. 912-268-2328. And don't forget, if you're heading south for the winter, or maybe if you're heading north, coming home from the south from the winter, remember, it's a 15-minute detour off of I-95 to sit and enjoy some great Italian cuisine at Sal's. Get the address off the website, www.salsneighborhoodpizzeria.com, or drop me an email, billy@talkinboxing.com, and I'll be glad to give it to you. Today's show is also being brought to us in part by the Turning Stone Resort and Casino, a beautiful place, one of my favorites, and their next boxing event, which is a pretty damn good one. Curtis Stevens against David Lemieux, March 11th. I'm going to be there. I want you to be there. Get some tickets right now by visiting our website, BillyCBoxing.com. Click on the fight poster. It's on the right-hand side. And once you get your tickets, drop me an email. Tell me where I can meet you so you can buy me a scotch. I plan on drinking a lot of scotches, so hopefully you guys will be there. And what a show that's going to be, an HBO event. Today's show is also being brought to us in part by FireFan, a great new sports fantasy game. Hey, we can hook you up for free, and you can win money. Hey, how much better can you get, right? Play the game. It's all sports. You play it for free. You win some money, and you can thank us here at the Billy C. Boxing family. Just visit our website, www.billycboxing.com, and click on the Fire Fan banner, which is on the left-hand side. And finally, today's show, she's being brought to us by my book, Tom Mono, From Bondage to Baddest Man on the Planet, is available right now where all good books are sold. You can literally get a copy of it right now by visiting barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com. You're looking to get a signed copy? Don't worry about it. Just visit our website, www.billycboxing.com, and click on the book club section. Find out why I'm so adamant about everyone learning about this guy. Tom Molyneux was the biggest name in sports 200 years ago. He's virtually forgotten today. Find out what my problem is about the reasons why. It's a great read. Once you start reading it, you can't put it down. Well, this weekend on network television, we got Deontay Wilder against Gerald Washington. We're going to give you our predictions on the fight. We're going to try to open up the phone lines a little bit later, but we got some emails to read. I just want to touch on a couple of things. Manny Pacquiao against Amir Khan. Remember yesterday or the other day, whenever we said it, Bob Arum was saying, you know who Bob Arum is, the guy who says he was lying yesterday, but he's telling the truth today. Well, he was making some comments about Manny Pacquiao and his next scheduled fight that I want to get your thoughts on. But first, I got to be joined by my partner in crime. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, please welcome the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Famer, a Guinness Book of World Record holder, a pretty damn good restaurateur, cook. Yeah, a cook. And he's a pretty nice guy, if you ever get to meet him. I mean, once he starts talking, I mean, Jesus, you got to hook him and tell him to get the hell out of there. But you will love this guy. Trust me. Welcome, my man, Sal. Rocky Senecola. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, Bill. How are you today, my friend?
Well, I tell you, it's getting better. You know,
it's getting better.
It was one of those mornings. You know, everything. You know how the mornings where you go to put the coffee on and the grinds go all over the place. You know, you butter a bagel and you drop it. Not only does it fall on the floor, but it bounces all down your shirt, so you get the butter all over your shirt. I mean, it's just one of those days, man. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know what you're talking about.
Jeez, you know. But anyway, hey. We finally got some good weather the last couple of days up here in upstate New York, and it's supposed to be in the 50s again today. Man, this difference in weather over the last decade is pretty mind-boggling, don't you think?
You know, it's something. I don't know whether to believe the return of the Ice Age or the global warming or just, hey, guess what? It is what it is. It cycles in, cycles out. Let's go with it.
I agree. You
can't do anything about it.
I agree with that. It's a cycle in, cycle out. A buddy of mine is a scientist, and he laughs at all of these people that say it's global warming. I mean, even if you go back to the Industrial Revolution a couple hundred years ago, and there is no way. He said, listen, scientifically, I know a lot of people are trying to claim that we've destroyed the ozone layer in such relatively short period of time. He says, but look at the age of the Earth, and he says it's gone through these things for millions of years, you know, and what makes people think that, you know, a couple of gazillion cars are going to burn a hole through the ozone. But anyway, that's all.
They got to worry about an asteroid striking us before they do global warming.
I tell you, man, I had an asteroid problem one time. Man, every time I sat down at her. Oh, wait a minute. I think that was called something.
You're a funny guy.
Anyway.
You're a funny guy.
We better get back on track, Sal, before we go down the wrong path. But Manny Pacquiao. And Amir Khan. Remember the other day when I said to you, hey, Bob Arum, you know Bob Arum, the guy that says, hey,
I
was lying yesterday, but today I swear I'm telling the truth. Well, he said that there's no way, that's total bullshit, beep, you know, BS, that Manny Pacquiao and Amir Khan are in negotiations. We're negotiating to fight Jeff Horn, blah, 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 blah. Well, it was reported the other day that, yes, indeed, Manny Pacquiao and Amir Khan are in negotiations right now to fight later this year in Dubai. And there's so much money being thrown at these guys that poor Jeff Horn is going to be kicked to the curb faster than $5 whore. But anyway, the truth of the matter is Manny Pacquiao and Amir Khan are under negotiations. Let's see if that turns out. What do you think?
I don't know. Like I said, Billy, I don't get caught up with all the rhetoric and all the bull. I'm a guy.
Watch your language.
I said the rhetoric.
Okay.
I'm not going off target yet. I'm not yet. But no, off color yet. But no, I don't like the fluff. I just like the stuff.
I like
this
stuff.
And so give me the facts. Let's not go with this rhetoric and bull. And, I want to see what happens. And like I look at that as the foundation, again, I go back to my original statement. There's no real fight I want to see Manny Pacquiao involved with other than Floyd Mayweather. I said that clear, slowly, and pronounced and enunciated everything I could.
You certainly did slip.
That's because I did not want to slip.
Yeah.
Nice boss.
You know, heavyweight. You know, the WBA, you know, they crack me up with, we're trying to, you know, unify our titles and everything else. Well, you know, one of my hang-ups, and before we start talking about Deontay Wilder and Gerald Washington, which I have a hang-up with that fight, but I'll get to that in a second. The WBA, now, let's try to remember, you know, their super heavyweight title, which was vacated by Tyson Fury, and Klitschko was the number one guy to contend for it, and they approved Anthony Joshua to contend for it. So their vacant super heavyweight title obviously is being contended between Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko when they fight. However, they still had a vacant regular old world heavyweight title, and somehow, between all the heavyweights in the world, Sal, Shannon Briggs, who's, I think, about 105, who hasn't fought anybody of note in, you know, since his recent comeback, which was 3 years ago, is fighting Frezza Quendo, who hasn't even fought since 2014. Having those two guys fight for the vacated title. Well, it was announced that the fight is going to happen. A deal between the promoters was made. The actual date and location is still up in the air. But according to the WBA, the fight has to take place by early May. So I would say that that's at least by the first couple of weeks in May. So we'll keep our eyes on that. But that fight, out of all the heavyweights, and I know you've said this before, these kids that were, and not necessarily kids, but young fighters or any fighter who works so hard in the gym trying to position themselves for a shot and then get bypassed for a couple of fighters like this, or even worse, similar to the main event that's happening this weekend, it's a travesty, don't you think?
I think it is. Like I said, you know, the arena of boxing, if you will, is filled with enough distractions and enough rhetoric and enough false fights and enough everything. So when you see, like I said, again, not to be redundant, but, you know, it's the fluff without the stuff. Let's look at the, boil it down to its bare facts and minimum. And let's, as there was a announcer I used to say, or no, there was, what was his name, Smoker? Let's get it on!
No, that wasn't Smoker.
Okay, was it?
Come on, man. Come on.
What referee was he? He said, let's get it. No, it was,
Come on.
I know. It's on the tip of my, he was a judge, too. He was an attorney.
He was.
Hey, I'm on the right track.
Come on.
What was his name? He passed away.
He didn't pass away yet. And he's been sick. Mills Lane.
Mills Lane,
who said that, you know, this is getting off the subject. Mills Lane was a guy who said, let's get it on. Now, he was just an exciting guy, all right? And then because of the success of him, everybody else, all these referees have tried to come up with their own coined phrase. You know, Steve Smoger, come on, he's the worst. I'm going to forget you even said it. Dax, well, take back the 50 cents. I just saw that Dax is sending you 50 cents to try to use big words. What's up with that?
Come on, man.
Since I
tried to take a picture. There was a license plate last night in my parking lot. It said Dax 70 something, and I said, "Wow, Dax really did come down here."
Well, let me tell you,
I went to a restaurant looking for Dax.
I don't know how Dax can afford to send you 50 cents. That's all I know. But anyway. another thing I wanted to talk about real quick, and then we'll get into some emails and, of course, our predictions on the fight. You know, one of the problems with the sport of boxing that I've seen over the last decade at least was the support that the sport gets from people. And I don't mean just diehard boxing fans. You know, it's something that I encounter on a regular basis where, you know, somebody, we get to talking and somebody says, what do you do, blah, 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 and I say boxing, and I always hear the same thing, Sal, and I know you do too. You know, I used to be a boxing fan, you know, and some of the reasons why I don't think we see as much boxing as we used to is because the people that are making the decisions are not big boxing fans, and, you know, we've kind of ruined the sport because of that so-called lack of interest. And as a result, you know, we're not developing new fans, etc. Well, in Florida, a place that we do a lot of work in, I want to give a shout-out to Congressman Bill Posey. He went on and released a statement concerning some events that had taken place in Florida, specifically Palm Bay. And he wanted to reach out and publicly give kudos to the Palm Bay area and its mayor, Mayor Capote. And he said, and let me read you some quotes, because he said, "I applaud the efforts of Mayor Capote and the city of Palm Bay for working with," and they're mentioning the television network, that a live event is going to be happening this weekend, Telemundo, and the promoter, All-Star Boxing, to bring another exciting event and night of boxing here to Florida. He says, "Events such as this help provide a boost to local business and raise our profile around the world as a premier travel destination." Mayor Capote said Palm Bay is excited to have these events here, specifically at the Tony Rosa Community Center. It attracts top-tier programs and events such as boxing, and it's just a taste of what we can do as our city grows. The reason why I'm giving this a mention is because I applaud politicians and anyone else that's in the position of approving a boxing event, or in this case, an event that's on TV, or even a club show, and help promote the sport. It's something that I think has been leaving the sport for a long time, Sal. What's your thoughts on a guy, both of them, Congressman Posey and, of course, Mayor Capote, going out and actually making a public statement like this, applauding the sport?
Well, I think it's good if we have endorsements from credible, respectable leaders in our community. I mean, that's a gimme, and that's a free press, free publicity. And you know, I think if they have that kind of influence over people, that they could, you know, say, guess what? This is credible. This is what we like, and this is what I look forward to. Why not? I think it's a good thing. You know, if we're promoting of the betterment of the sport. Of course, the other flip side is that you might have some politicians that who like to increase insurance premiums and everything else, and whatever else might be, that want to talk negatively about the sport. But the bottom line is, yes, we will take all welcome, proactive people that want to speak favorably about the sport of boxing or any other sport.
We're going to break down the Gerald Washington challenge to Deontay Wilder's world heavyweight belt here in a couple of minutes. I just want to get one more bit of news out and then read a couple of emails that should give us a segue right into breaking down this fight, Sal. You know Roc Nation, right? I mean, Roc Nation, they have signed such prima donnas as Miguel Cotto and Andre Ward, you know, arguably the two top prima donnas in the sport of boxing today. And because of it, specifically Andre Ward, Roc Nation is on the rocks. And last night, it didn't get any better when one of their younger fighters, or, you know, he's 22 years old, but he's got 31 fights under his belt, Dusty Hernandez Harrison, was arrested. It was actually Wednesday, late Wednesday night, on a gun charge in the Washington, D.C. area. Apparently, he had a 40 caliber handgun. What's that? What's that, like a mini cannon? I mean, geez,
yeah, I think,
you know,
I think he was looking at Clint Eastwood.
Yeah,
I think so.
40 cal. I remember a guy that used to work for me. I used to take these guys on a bear hunting trip every year. I went fishing and they went hunting, and he had a 40 caliber rifle, and the bullets looked like friggin' they were, you know, for a cannon. You know, it almost knocked this guy over when he shot it. I can't imagine a handgun with 40 caliber, but nonetheless, he was arrested. You know, I think Roc Nation is in trouble. I think they made a big mistake signing Andre Ward and Miguel Cotto, because we know both of them required big-time signing deals. And then their young fighters that are sprinkled around them, there's just not enough of them, and they're not doing enough shows. I think the writing's on the wall that Roc Nation might be bowing out of the sport of boxing. I don't know.
The Roc may be cracked.
The Roc is maybe pumice. I don't know. But and for all of you people that skipped your science class, it's a very light, weak stone. Sort of like the balsa wood of the rock industry.
The balsa wood of the rock.
Man, I'm throwing out some facts today. Anyway, let's get some.
I used to build balsa wood planes when I was a kid.
Yeah, you know, I keep trying to build a deck out of balsa wood, but it just doesn't seem.
Hey, guess what? You got to weigh under 25 pounds.
Hey, I was watching. you want to know something, though? I was watching a survival show, and they were in a place where balsa wood grew. And they said it's actually good to build. It's stronger than people think. So, anyway.
Wow.
Let's get some emails out of the way, because a couple of these, actually, two of them have comments towards the fight. So, let's start our Deontay Wilder and Gerald Washington breakdowns now. Jesse writes, "Good morning, Billy C. and Sal. I got Wilder winning a split decision over Gerald Washington. I see both fighters getting tired and clinching a lot. Hurd versus Harrison, that'll be, and that's a different Harrison, by the way. That's a Tony Harrison. Via Hurd winning by a unanimous decision. And Izu knocking out Dominic Brazil in four rounds. He says, also, I guess I got Alvarez over Lucien Boutte, knocking him out in 10 rounds. Okay, good luck with your picks, Jess. He says, I read that Usyk versus Michael Hunter and Godzik against Unieski Gonzalez. How do you see these fights? I think they are intriguing, says Jesse. And I agree with him. I'm looking forward to the Usyk and Michael Hunter fight. Unieski Gonzalez is another tough out. I agree with Jesse. Both of these fights are good. They're added to that championship card. Coming up, you can read about that and all the news that's fit to print right on the front page of BillyCBoxing.com. He says, hey, Billy, if ESPN wants to get better, I want them to show meaningful fights and contender status fighters and hot prospects versus other hot prospects. I really don't want to see Mauricio Herrera since his career is almost done. I don't want to see those kind of fighters on their way down in their careers. You know, it's a shame what's happened with ESPN. I mean, I don't mind seeing young fighters coming up and getting to know the fighters, and that's what ESPN and series like Tuesday Night Fights and the new series that we've been watching now on Fox Deportes with the Toe-to-Toe Tuesdays. I like those kind of fights, so I agree with Jesse. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And like I said, you know, I remember ESPN was like the ambassador of boxing, giving us those Thursday night fights, which I fought a few on there myself. And, you know, being a nice showcase for these fighters to come up and around. And that's like I said, sometimes we can't just reinvent the wheel going forward. We have to look at what made us evolve originally and go back to the basics. That's my formula.
Yeah, well. My formula is E minus 2 squared. No, that's different.
But, that's another science project.
That's another one. My man Mitch says, former junior welterweight world champion Chris Algieri, as his role as a performance nutrition coach, provided unique insight in the training of WBA middleweight regular champion and challenger. Of Daniel Jacobs for Triple G. As he prepares for the biggest challenge, he says, Mitch says, unique insight, LOL. And basically he wants to, come on, man. You guys watch ESPN and, you know, it's like, come on, man. Well, this is like a come on, man, with Chris Algieri. I mean, come on, man. You can't be serious. International phone call to talk with the nutrition. Come on, man. You know, I mean, geez. I agree.
Come on.
I agree with my man, Mitch. And finally, Joel says, hey, Bill, can you and Sal give your official predictions for the Deontay Wilder and Gerald Washington and Lucien Boutte and Aldo Alvarez fights? Have a great weekend, and we'll see you guys for the post-fight show. That's correct. Something I forgot to mention. We are definitely doing a post-fight show as soon as the official decision is rendered between Deontay Wilder and Gerald Washington. Now, keep in mind that this fight is on Fox Sports, and it airs prime time, 8 p.m., so we should be doing our post-fight show fairly early on Saturday night. So make sure you tune it in right here. So the way I look at this fight, first and foremost, let's take a look at the Alvarez and Lucien Boutte fight. Now, my heart tells me that Lucien Boutte, because I've always been a big fan of Lucien Boutte, says that Lucien Boutte is going to win. Facts looks at Alvarez and it's a clear youth versus age and blah, blah, blah. But when I broke down this fight, I see Alvarez, and although he comes on strong and he's a good fighter, he's had some hot and cold performances, as every fighter has. But he's never met a guy like Lucien Boutte. Lucien Boutte's knock is that, you know, his chin has seemed suspect. He's got a new training team, complete training team, actually. And sometimes that first fight with the new guys doesn't really pan out well. But my official pick in that fight, I know a lot of people are picking Alvarez, but I'm going to go against the grain here. I'm sticking with my heart on this one, Sal. I'm going to go with Lucien Boutte. I just think his experience and his hand speed, I think he's got the height and reach advantage over Alvarez. I think if they employ a great game plan like using his boxing skill and his hand speed, I think he could win this fight. If he gets into a slugfest, maybe not so much. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the same thing. You know, you got to stay. You can't let a fighter's style coerce you into the style he wants you to fight. You got to fight your own fight, and you got to be able to make sure your style can counter and to be effective against him. And you can't be led into it like Mayweather gets everybody fighting into his fight, into his style, into everything else, because that's the way he is. That's a leader in the ring, whether you like him or not. That's what he does.
So who's your official pick?
I can't pick this one.
All right.
That's what I'm trying to be diplomatic. Yeah, I want to see the fight. I want to enjoy the fight. And I'm going to take it in. I'll have a lot to comment afterwards.
They just said in the chat room, by the way, we know that there's a lot of interaction depending upon where you're watching or listening to the show. But the chat room that we monitor and respond to is up on BillyCBoxing.com. So if you're watching or listening live right now, come on over to that chat room. And my man Kevin just informed the people in the chat room that Evander Holyfield apparently is joining the analyst team for the television broadcast of Deontay Wilder against Gerald Washington.
That's
on
great.
Saturday. No, it's not. I've met Evander Holyfield a couple of times. First of all,
I used to train with him.
He's the meanest, nastiest guy. I mean,
he's not Mr. Warmer Fuzzy.
No, he's not.
He's got a mean persona. I used to train with him in the camps with the Lou Duva team all the time. And, the guy walks around like he's got a stick up his butt.
Well, he might. But you know, the truth of the matter is he's not a people person.
He's got
this scowl on his face all the time. And, he doesn't speak that well. As far as his knowledge base of the sport, I mean, come on, I'm not going to challenge that. I mean, the guy is one of the greatest champions of all time, pound for pound, let alone
heavyweight. He's a warrior.
Yeah, you know, definitely a warrior. One of the quickest recovery powers I've ever seen in the sport. But as a commentator?
Actually, without brown bottles.
Jeez, I'll be like... But anyway. All right, Deontay Wilder against Gerald Washington. Now, first and foremost, when I look at Deontay Wilder, there's no secret. I've been very critical of Deontay Wilder. Not Deontay Wilder the man, because I respect him immensely. But Deontay Wilder, the guy who's being conned into thinking that he's the best heavyweight. And as a matter of fact, I just saw a video of him claiming that Joseph Parker, who somehow got a shot and won the WBO world title, is ducking him. You know, I don't think there's a guy on the planet that's a heavyweight fighter professionally that would duck Deontay Wilder. I think Deontay Wilder has been hand-fed cupcake after cupcake after cupcake. And, you know, he pounds his chest that he's a great, great fighter. When I look at this guy's resume, the computer sees him as the third best heavyweight in the world. I don't know. I mean, the division is weak. You got to give him that. I mean, for me, for Deontay Wilder to prove that he's a real champion. He's got to beat Anthony Joshua, Vladimir Klitschko, or Luis Ortiz. He's got to beat one of those three. Anyone else doesn't really. And again, this isn't Wilder's fault that the pickings are so slim in the heavyweight division. But don't fight guys like Johan Duopas and Eric Molina and Jason Gavran and Nikolai Fertha and scheduled to fight Andre Warzyk, you know, and pound your chest and say you're the best. When I look at his resume, he's 31 years old. He's undefeated, 37-0 with 36 knockouts. You know, I kind of want to give him credit for Chris Arreola, but by the time he fought Chris Arreola in his last fight in July of last year, Chris Arreola was just a shell of a fighter, Sal. I mean, this guy is a human punching bag. You know, so how much credit do we really have to give Deontay Wilder for doing the same thing that everyone that stepped in the ring with Chris over the last couple of years have done? You know, as far as Berman Stiverne, the guy he won the title from in 2015, you know, we learned after that fight that Berman Stiverne was way overrated. The best win of his career was against Chris Arreola. Two fights against Chris Arreola. So, I mean, how good is Deontay Wilder? Deontay Wilder, the fight that I give him the most credit for was his win over Artur Spitzka. To me, that was a big win and a devastating knockout. That's, to date, in my opinion, his biggest win. He was scheduled to fight Andres Warzyk, who was ranked number 29 by the computer. And Deontay Wilder, like I told you, the computer sees him at number three. 6'7", Deontay Wilder. He steps in with Gerald Washington. Now, Gerald Washington, you could look at as a step up in competition compared to his previous opponent that was scheduled in Warzyk. And make no mistake, boys and girls, this isn't really a short notice type of a fight. We've known that Gerald Washington was going to fight Deontay Wilder for at least 3.5 weeks. So, I mean, you know, to suggest a last-minute sub the way they're trying to bill it, that's not true. Gerald Washington is only got an inch less in height than Wilder. And he's a couple of years older. He's 34. The computer sees him at number 20. Here's the thing, though. Gerald Washington was a work in progress. He was one of these guys that was a former football player turned boxer. So his body really, he's only had 19 fights. He's 18-0 with a draw. And when you look at his resume, he fought one name in Eddie Chambers, but Eddie Chambers is not... he's a little overrated, and Eddie Chambers just fought to survive the fight, and Gerald Washington won an 8-round decision over him. He fought the 150-year-old Ray Austin. I mean, the toughest guy on his resume. He's got the Jason Gavrins and the Mike Shepherds and the Travis Walkers, who became a punching bag, and Nagy Aguilera, who I used to really like, but... cashed out, so to speak. I mean, those are all the names that Gerald Washington has beaten. The toughest guy on his resume, Amir Mansour. And Amir Mansour isn't even a killer, and that was a draw. That was arguably a robbery. Many people believe Mansour won that fight. So, how is Gerald Washington going to do against Deontay Wilder? You know what? I'll be rooting for him to give Deontay Wilder all he can handle. But at the end of the day, Sal, I'm predicting Deontay Wilder knocking out Gerald Washington somewhere between the 6th and 8th round. I think it is going to go a couple of rounds, but I don't see this fight going past 8 rounds. Deontay Wilder by TKO or knockout to retain his title. And make no mistake, Deontay Wilder is going to pound his chest like King Kong and say that everybody's scared to fight. I'm scared to fight him. And we all know that that's BS. Sal, your thoughts on the fight?
Well, I'll tell you what. Great, great synopsis that you just delivered. And I will tell you this. We were talking earlier last week about opportunities and rising to the occasion and no holds barred and everything else. Now, if this is the one opportunity that Gerald Washington will have to win a belt, to beat somebody who's somebody, whether you like him or not, and with the other variable being, if Deontay Wilder is not the world beater that he claims to be, and maybe he is just a little above average at best, which I think he's a world-class decent guy, you never know what's going to happen. Maybe Washington could surmount an offense and take the fight to another level that we don't anticipate. And you know what? I may be rooting for that. We'll see. I want to see a good fight. And like I said, if I'm given a chance for a title, I don't care what title. Well, I do care about what title, because I've earned some lesser titles in the past. But anyway, go on from there. I think that he could surprise a lot of people if this guy's rising to the occasion, has done his homework, is ready to do something, and is going to say, hey, it's my turn right now, no holding back, no tomorrow, this is it, I'm going on the line, I'm willing to do or die right now. We'll see. Maybe he could rise to the occasion and upset Deontay Wilder and become a force to reckon with. Who knows? So that's what I see. But if all is not what we would anticipate or what I would think about him rising to that occasion and just being average at best and everything else, yeah, I definitely see Deontay Wilder coming in there, wanting to showcase, wanting to look good, and maybe carry the fight a little bit here and there. Not carry on purpose, but the fight will go on past the fifth round and maybe closing it out with a knockout by the ninth or tenth.
Finally, you give us
an
official.
Now the rest of the story. I want to give both sides.
You know,
I'm hoping the guy rises to the occasion, and we'll see what happens.
I think you, stumbled onto a good point because
I do Deontay, this once in a while.
Well, Deontay Wilder has mentioned that he's because of his injuries,
his hand, his bicep.
That he had been working on his left jab for the last several months. And I agree with what you just said. I also have a feeling that he's going to try to show people that, he's got more in his game now with utilizing the jab. But, a lot of people forget he looked really good as a boxer when he fought Stavern. But he's never had a pure fight like that since or before. Every other fight he goes in just headhunting to knock his opponent out, which, let's face it, that's what the fans want to see. But I also think that part of that and the reason why his game plan is like that is because he believes what they're all telling him. Yeah, this guy, you're going to knock this guy out. He's nothing. And I believe they're telling him the same thing about Gerald Washington. So it's going to be interesting to see if Deontay Wilder tries to stick to a game plan and go a couple of rounds, or if he tries to take Washington out of there real quick. And the other thing I agree with you on, Sal, is that Gerald Washington should go right after Deontay Wilder and go for a knockout. Yeah, because the truth of the matter is a weakness that we all know that Deontay has is his chinny chin chin. So if I'm Gerald Washington, even though I'm not a huge knockout puncher, I mean, he's got a 63% knockout ratio. I think he should go for the knockout. But anyway.
You know what I think? I think Gerald Washington has to go in that ring and fight like he's the champion. He's got to do that. Well, he's got to have the confidence. He's got to go in that ring, not as the opponent, but like he's the champion. If he does that, we'll see what happens.
Well, as long as he goes in confident that he can win and not just happy to be there and, being a good soldier for Al Haymon. If he goes in there wanting to win and looking at it, like you said, an opportunity, we might have a fight on our hands. We might. Well, there's a lot of people rooting for Gerald Washington. Also on that card.
Including Mrs. Washington.
Yeah. Mrs. Washington.
Either his mother or his wife.
Yeah, I know. Jared Hurd and Tony Harrison are fighting for a vacant junior middleweight title. That ought to be an interesting fight. And the other fight that's on that card that we're going to see on TV is Dominic Brazil against Izagbu Ugyenaw. And the Ugyenaw fight is intriguing. I know one of our emailers predicted that Ugyenaw was going to knock out Brazil in four rounds. Brazil has an extremely tough chin, with the exception of his last fight. in which he got knocked out. You know, this is a guy that's been down but gets up. I wouldn't underestimate Brazil. I think we've seen more of Brazil than we have of Huguenot. I'm looking forward to this fight. I think it's a 50-50 fight. I really do. And I'm looking forward to that. Hey, Sal, why don't we open up the phone lines and grab a caller or two? If you have a quick comment, give us a call. 845-228-8710. 845-228-8710. We will take a couple of callers. Please make it quick so we can take several. 845-228-8710. Hey, you know what debuts tonight on Showtime?
What's that, pal?
That Prison Fighters, five rounds to
freedom. Oh yeah, you were talking about it.
Yeah, it's a film that goes on tonight. It's a documentary. It's 90 minutes. Starts at 8:30 p.m. You know, I know it focuses on Muay Thai, but the whole backdrop of this fight, this whole show, is kind of strange. They basically have these prisoners fighting and getting the opportunity to basically win their freedom. And these aren't just guys that, you know, stole a pack of gum or
see, that's bizarre. You're gonna let a hardened criminal on the street because he beat the hell out of somebody in a ring?
That's why I can't wait to see it, to tell you the
truth. I can't wait to see it. What if he kills a guy in a ring?
I'm looking forward to
way to freedom. Hey, this is inspiration from Tom Molino. They might have read your book.
Exactly. I'm gonna check that out. But anyway, joining us right now, and I don't know if I'm gonna do the Lucien Boutte fight. I know that's on pay-per-view tonight. You know, I really want to watch it, but the rest of the card is horrific. But joining us right now with his thoughts on Wilder Washington, Dax Khan. What's up, Dax?
Good morning, everyone. And yes, that Boutte card is horrible.
Isn't it? I mean, they couldn't scrape up another good fight just to make it worth a couple of bucks. I mean, I'm not suggesting that the Alvarez-Boutte fight isn't worth a few bucks to pay for it, but geez, they couldn't give you another fight to watch on that card?
And Alvarez-Boutte is an HBO fight, you know, at best, and then the undercard is just dreadful, so, and that's no disrespect to the fighters, but it really is, it's dreadful, so, you know, all I can say is Alvarez needs a knockout because Marlon can't get it right as the referee.
Right.
We all know what happens when he's in there with Boutte. Lucien Boutte is sleeping in the corner. Librado Andre, as you know, he's packing the stuff up. He's ready to go home, and Boutte's still getting the count, and he ends up winning. So
he helps Marlon Wright helps him up, gives him a sip of water. You know, are you okay? Okay,
you know,
okay.
All kinds of things, you know what I mean? When him and Boutte are together, forget about it. It's more like a date than a referee.
I know. What's your thoughts on the heavyweight fight, man?
Gerald Washington, he's a decent boxer. Let's put it that way. He's really not a power puncher. You know, even in the heavyweight division, when you look at the guys he has the KOs over, he has none over anybody that's a name, anybody that, you know, you would say, like, wow, he stopped so-and-so. Amir Mansour pretty much almost had him out. Amir Man, you know, it was a fight, actually, you know, you could have given to Amir Mansour. So I think he'll look good for a little bit. He'll box. Deontay Wilder is going to let him get into the fight a little bit just to kind of stretch it out and to maybe test his hand. And then he's going to just end it with the first big one that he lands flush. And that's how that's going to end, in my opinion.
Yeah. And then we're going to have to deal with Deontay Wilder saying he's the best in the world and everyone's ducking him. And, you know, I can't stand that. I just like the classy champion. You know, I mean, I just think that speaks way more volumes, you know, like a Triple G kind of a guy, even Daniel Jacobs kind of a guy. I mean, you know, those kinds of champions to me carry so much more weight.
Absolutely, you know, and they, unfortunately, you know, this is a different day, and it's not so much about, how you behave in the ring and how you compose yourself out of the ring. It's, you know, it's the act that goes along with it, you know, and everybody likes, you know, the bad guy, the badass, and so on. So it's unfortunate that, you know, the term of carry yourself like a champion isn't what it used to be. Somebody mentioned in the chat room, and I had seen this interview by Anthony Joshua, his comments on Deontay Wilder, where, you know, he believes that, you know, Deontay Wilder is, you know, a quality champion, but, you know, he wants to see better opponents, and he actually believes that, you know, this fight should have been postponed for another month or so, even if Wilder's going to win. He says, you know what? If this is a world title fight, you should at least have your opponent have proper amount of time to train for a world title fight.
No, this is true. I mean, every edge is always for Deontay. And, you know, I mean, you can't blame it on him. It's his team. But what you do blame on him is pounding his chest like he's King Kong. Hey, let me ask you two other fights that I know you're up on and you know, a lot of people might be, they're flying under the radar. One, of course, is the heavyweight fight that's on the undercard, Brazil against Huguenot. I like this fight, Dax. I think it's a 50-50 fight. Am I wrong?
No, you're wrong. I told you this a few weeks ago. I said Huguenot is going to beat him.
Really? I think Brazil is better than people think. He's gone rounds with some quality fighters. I don't know. You think Huguenot? Who's Huguenot fight?
Huguenot, you know, people don't know him because he's from overseas. You know, I remember him as a kickboxer, and I've seen his fights that, you know, he overseas. His fights from overseas, a lot of people don't know him because actually he's from Poland. But, you know, the guy, he's a sleeper. And what's going to happen is they're bringing him in there, and they think that they're going to have themselves a name because Huguenot is an intimidating-looking guy when you look at him. So they think it's going to look good on TV, and what's going to happen is Dominic Brazil is going to be shocked, and they're going to be kind of sorry that they made this fight. The only thing going in Brazil's favor is the size because Huguenot is only about 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, he looked very small in the photos. That's the other thing. And the other fight that's really good, it's a big fight. Over in the UK, Gavin McDonald against Ray Vargas for a vacant super bantamweight title. I love this fight, too. What's your thoughts on this one?
Well, you want to say that Gavin McDonald, but you know something? You can never count out Ray Vargas.
No.
So, you know, if it goes to the decision, more than likely, I think Gavin McDonald is going to get that. It should be a good fight. Both guys always come into the ring and give it their all. It's, you know, they never leave anything behind. So it's definitely a fight that, you know, no matter who wins at the end, you're going to be happy with it. But I'm going to have to edge McDonald over there, especially if it goes to the cards. You know, there's no way Vargas is going to get the decision out over McDonald's home.
What's your official prediction before we let you go on the Wilder-Washington fight? How's it going to end?
Wilder.
How?
By knockout.
Knockout. Right. You think it's going to be early or late?
Mid-round knockout. Mid-fight knockout.
Yeah. That makes sense, right? I mean, he's going to
win. Yeah. And then just two last things to say now. You know, good thing. As much as we hate the WBC, we talk bad about them. As I spoke to you last night, their clean boxing program has been doing a sensational job. You know, you usually lose. You know, they've caught about three or four different guys over the last year, and, you know, yesterday or Wednesday they released that, you know, the former WBC super flyweight champion and, at the time, number one ranked bantamweight, Syrian Rugmanassi, you know, he tested for dirty for methamphetamines and amphetamine, for two different types of amphetamines, and the WBC, right away, they dropped him from the rankings, and they put out there that, you know, we're not going to tolerate this, and they're going to tighten up there, even already, what's already, you know, structured. They're going to even tighten it up and make it a whole lot harder for these guys to cheat. And right away, guys are really getting, you know, booted right out of the rankings. And if you're not enrolled, you know what, you can't even be ranked by the sanctioned body in the first place. So, you know, you have to give them credit.
Yeah, no doubt. I definitely give them credit. And like we talked last night, that's pretty strange that he's taken... You know, not even a performance-enhancing drug, but none.
That's amphetamines, right? Somebody said to me, how much are you going to make 115 pounds? So yeah. I guess you got that, right?
I guess he's
but one last thing, a funny thing, Sullivan Barrera. He's scheduled to face Arthur Beterbiev for the IBF light heavyweight title. He's going to, for the number one spot, to face Andre Ward. He's going out there talking about how people are jumping the gun. This isn't official. He has to be told by Beterbiev's promoter that the fight is already signed. It's filed with the IBF. Why don't you know this?
Somebody should tell him, huh?
You would think so, right? Especially since you signed the contract. And, you know, BJ Flores tomorrow is going to face the ever-dangerous Jeremy Bates on a live free stream. What do you think about the senior circuit?
Who's BJ Flores against Jeremy Bates?
Against Jeremy Bates.
Yeah, that's what Coach is saying right now. Everybody knows how I feel about BJ Flores. I think he's a great commentator, but I think he sucks as a fighter, and I don't know why he keeps going. I mean, obviously they're trying to keep giving him shots. Jeremy Bates, when was the last time he fought?
Jeremy Bates, he actually fought about less than a year ago. You know, he beat a couple guys, no names, but, you know, he's most known for being the guy that gets knocked out by the big names. You know, I think back in 2007, he had a string of knockout losses against, all the top guys, one after the other, and they were all brutal. I think it was Galata, Guillermo Jones, Lajovic, Ray Austin. They all just knocked him out one by one. And, I mean, when I say knocked out, it wasn't like a TKO. They just pretty much turned his lights out cold.
Yeah, well, I hope he does that to BJ. Hey, before I let you go, I meant to mention this last night, and I might as well mention it on air. Matt Remillard. Remember Matt Remillard from
the Canada? Yes, yep.
He's making a return to the ring in a few weeks. I guess he's finally out of jail. He did 5 years for some kind of an assault charge, and I loved this kid. I mean, his one loss was... he was put in way above his head, but I loved going to watch him. He seemingly had all the tools. Then he gets thrown in a slammer for five. What's your thoughts on Matt Remillard? I mean, can he come back and pick up where he left off, or do you think those 5 years, pretty much was his prime?
It depends on how, what he spent his time doing in there and what he spent his time thinking about. He's going to be surrounded by some good people. The card that he's going to be on is actually promoted by Jose Antonio Rivera, who's nothing but a positive guy. And I think if he stays around a guy like Jose and he listens to him and stays on the track, I think Jose, might be able to get him right back where he was before he went to prison. And we could see, him pick back up in another year or so after he gets some local fights. So, this is his one last chance, and hopefully he makes the best of it.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I guess Birchfield took his claws out of him, and now he's fighting under a different banner. I wish him all the best, and I'm going to be keeping an eye. I almost even looked and said, let me see if there's a way I can make that fight. I'd like to see it, but it's on a Saturday.
Jose's doing something great up there. He's trying to build up the local talent. New York, unfortunately, we don't have the smaller promoters to help build up the younger guys until they're ready to step up on to a bigger stage. And Jose is just trying to rebuild the boxing scene up in New England. So, you have to respect that because we need more new names because the old names are starting to go away one by one.
Well, the big difference up there, in the state of Massachusetts, is the commission is more workable than the commission in New York State. New York State commission actually, hinders the development of young fighters because they put the promoters in a position where they can't even promote young fighters from the area on New York shows because of the ridiculous requirements that are needed to put on a show, So, and I'm not just talking about the most talked about issue now with the insurance. There's other things with the state of New York that makes it very hard. But anyway, Dax,
there's one thing or another.
Yeah, it is. And without TV revenue, which no TV does anymore, really, it's hard to make any money as a promoter. And hey, that's the name of the game, right? So.
Yeah, that's pretty much is the name of the game, But then that's why the sport doesn't flourish like it used to. So. What more can you say on that? Until eventually somebody wakes up and realizes all these money-making ideas that we have, we're actually losing money on them. So maybe we need to revert back to the way we used to and kind of restructure what we're doing, not just in New York, but in the sport as a whole, all over the place.
No doubt. Dax, appreciate your insight.
Absolutely. And before we go, Bill, like I told you last night, we have to give our condolences to Ricardo Dominguez, the 31-year-old Mexican two-time world title challenger who passed away Wednesday from his battle with colon cancer, only aged 31 years old. Everybody out there might remember him from his title shots with Miguel Vasquez and Humberto Soto back in 2010. He was a tough kid. He had retired from the sport in 2014 when he was diagnosed with cancer as he was just starting to really pick his career up. So, our condolences go out to the entire Dominguez family.
Yeah, I agree, and thanks for bringing that up, my man.
All right, everybody, enjoy your weekend.
Take it easy, Dax.
Same, Dax. Thanks.
It's a shame when we lose fighter, any fighter,
anybody, anyone in the community.
That's true. It's a shame. That's why I always like to say that at the beginning of the show, so we can, move on to some positive things. But a lot of fights this weekend. Tonight, up in Canada, the main event, Alvarez against Lucien Bouté. It's an elimination fight. Also on Showtime, Saul Rodriguez going up against Ryan Keselowski. Also today, Ricardo Rodriguez against Carlos Navarez. That's the fight out of Florida on Telemundo. And then tomorrow, of course, Deontay Wilder against Gerald Washington, and a couple other fights on that card. And also Saturday, out of the UK, Gavin McDonald against Ray Vargas. I like that fight. And also on that card, Luke Campbell against Yaro Lopez. And the up-and-coming Tommy Coyle against Hakeem Noble. Three decent-sized fights, to watch up there. But anyway, I don't know, man. This prison thing, the Prison Fighters documentary, I'm kind of looking forward to that. I'm definitely going to watch it. Are you or what?
And this is on Showtime?
Yeah, Showtime tonight. I feel like I'm a...
Showtime tonight.
8:30.
I'm going to have to look for it. And, I'm sure they're going to rebroadcast that. So by the time I get home from work, if I didn't see it live, I'll see it by Memrex. I mean, repeat.
Memorex.
You remember those days? I did. Is it live or is it Memorex?
Yeah, but now it's digital. You can fit more stuff on a little handheld device. A little USB flash disk holds more data than computers. I was going through some old paperwork when I was in the IT business for years, and we used to sell computers and custom build them or what have you. And I was going through some old papers from not that long ago. And, this one customer, I was reading his bill, and he got an upgrade to a 300 meg hard drive, 300 meg. Now, today we're into the gigs, and actually we're into the tigs, which is 1,000 gigabyte. 1 gigabyte is 1,000 megabytes, So, I mean... The amount of storage
you can get. You got to be hungry for that.
Yeah, you do.
A lot of bytes.
That's a megabyte. But, the whole thing, that's packed in
a gig.
But the whole thing is a flash disk. I mean, you can get those now 30 gig, Jeez.
What about a couple years ago you would hear, this calculator, this handheld calculator has more memory, more capabilities than a computer was on board for the first Apollo space launches. I said, whoa, that's scary to even think about that. But somebody did the right calculation to make sure that that thing returned safely.
No, what they say is a cell phone today, any cell phone, even the lowest one you get, has way more data storage and processing capability than the first Apollo that landed on the moon.
Amazing.
It is.
That's amazing.
Well, that's how quick time flies. On this day in boxing history, Sal, February 24th in 1989, Roberto Duran wins a 12-round decision over Iran Barkley to win the WBC World Middleweight title. It took place in Atlantic City, New Jersey. One of the significances about this fight with Roberto Duran winning a major middleweight title, considering that he was a beast at lightweight, is who he beat. Iran Barkley was a monster for a middleweight.
Iran Barkley, no matter who he fought, he gave them all the trouble in the world, no matter who they were. He was a tough son of a gun. And I'll tell you why. You look at that, too. Duran fought almost 30 pounds heavier to win a middleweight championship. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah. On this day in 19...
I love Duran.
No, me too. On this day in 1982, Carlos De Leon stops Marvin Kamel in the 8th round to retain his WBC World Light Heavyweight title in Atlantic City. In his Cruiserweight title in Atlantic City, New Jersey on this day in 1982. On this day in 2001, Roy Jones Jr.
2001. He just fought last week.
16 years ago.
Do the math.
I know. 16 years ago. Roy Jones Jr. Yeah, check this out. Roy Jones Jr. stops Derek Harmon in the 10th round to retain his slew of world light heavyweight titles at the Ice Palace in Tampa, Florida, which is now, what do they call that? Anyway, it's a big, nice arena where the hockey team plays. On this day in 1948, Willie Pep stops Umberto Sierra in the 10th round to retain his world featherweight title. It took place at the Orange Bowl in Miami. And finally, on this day, February 24th, in 1897, Sal, Tommy Ryan stops Tom Tracy in the 9th round of a scheduled 20-round fight to retain his world welterweight title, and that took place in Syracuse. Yankee Sullivan was the guy that refereed this fight. So a pretty famous fight took place on this day in 1897. Geez, it seems like just seems like just yesterday that fight took
place. It does. At least the 97 part.
You were and even that's not even right? I mean, even that's 20 years ago.
You know? I know. Exactly.
Jeez. Any final thoughts, my man?
Oh boy, I'll tell you. No, I'm looking forward to this Deontay Wilder fight. I really am, because I want to see, you know, I want to see what it is that Washington can do and surmount some type of offense to try and upset the champion, and we'll see what happens. And you know, I will tell you this. My girlfriend, she's got like a 90, I'd say almost 90. 95 percentile pick of who fights and who wins. She's phenomenal. Without knowing all the stuff that we know, we talk and we discuss, she just says this guy's gonna win. I said thank you.
Which guy?
For my bookie.
Which guy?
The one guy.
oh, that guy. Oh,
no, okay. I'm gonna ask her. No, we're gonna see the fight Saturday night,
and
I'm gonna ask her who's gonna win the fight. And she's going to tell me.
Well, that could be indicative of two things. Either she's related to Nostradamus, or that's how sad the sport is that anybody can pick the winner.
No, she has some Nostradamus ability, I'm telling you.
I bet you she does. listen, don't forget to tune in to our Deontay Wilder-Gerald Washington post-fight show. We'll be coming to you live right here, wherever you're watching or listening to us, immediately after the fight is over, approximately 6 minutes, if you will, when the official announcement is made. We will come live. I will give you my thoughts. Sal will give you his thoughts. And then we'll open up the lines to hear your thoughts. The show is 100% driven by you, the boxing fan. So make sure you tune it in right here for Billy C's Deontay Wilder versus Gerald Washington post-fight show. Saturday night, as soon as the fight is over, you know you're going to be jacked up. I'll have a few scotches in me, so I'll be a little jacked up. We'll open up the phone lines and get your thoughts, so make sure that you're tuning in right here. And Sal, I know you're going to be looking forward to that fight, and I certainly am, and I'm hoping for a great, exciting matchup. I hope that we have a lot of good things to talk about instead of just him pounding his chest, so.
Oh, absolutely. I think we will. I think we'll have a lot to discuss.
Post-fight show, don't forget to be here. Anyway, without further ado, all I could say to everyone is make sure you tune in for the post-fight show. And you know, it's 6 minutes after the announcement is made. So we're going to call that our same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, ciao, baby. Da na 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 na